Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a liar and a mean person. She's a nut job.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Good Monday afternoon. This is Aaron Chadbourne filling in for Grace Curley here on the Grace Curley Show. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. And what a weekend it was. I don't know how everything was across the rest of New England, but in Maine, it's a bonus summer weekend, which meant the weather is great. And it's the type of weekend that makes you forget about all the nonsense that goes on in Washington, D.C. I got to tell you that I can't imagine that we're talking once again about another government shutdown. And whenever I hear this talk of government shutdowns, I hear all the panic on the left and what they want us to think about or be afraid of or be concerned about how we're missing out on something that the government has to offer. All I think is, don't threaten me with a good time. The government is important. There are functions that it serves, but we've been through this dance before. And what they want, the people on the left that are now, you know, they were lecturing us nonstop before, letting us know that if Republicans would have done the same thing, if Republicans wouldn't have allowed there to be a funded government, if they didn't allow the vote, they would be to blame. When Democrats were in the very same position, controlled both chambers of Congress, and Joe Biden was president, we were told that Republicans were to blame and they were the irresponsible ones. And right now, all we're getting are lectures about how Republicans control the presidency and the Senate and the House. We're being told that unless they do the right thing and give health care to illegals, then the Democrats are going to shut it down. Well, I say shut it down. It's the thing that Kevin McCarthy wasn't willing to do. Shut down the government. And you only get more leverage once it's shut down, because for Democrats who are serving in the government, there is nothing more important to them, to their lives, to their philosophy, than government. It's the center of everything. It's the center of their ideology. It's like a religion. So go ahead and shut it down. Let's see what happens. I predict that if the Democrats thought that Trump had leverage before, the amount of leverage that Donald J. Trump gets as president when the government's not funded goes through the roof. Now, Democrats are saying he's just cruel. He's threatening mass layoffs. How could he possibly do something like that? Well, they're the ones not funding it. And we've heard time and time and time again that all we need is this clean CR, this clean continuing resolution, that Republicans don't understand it. Republicans don't take it seriously. Well, clean continuing resolution. But the Democrats won't do it because they know that if they do it, they're just letting on that it was always something that we could do anyway. That all of their previous hyperbole about what would happen if Republicans hadn't gone along, if they had been truthful with the American people, then this would expose what they've been doing this whole time. So I think, you know, as we get threatened that the government might shut down, we're told all of these things that could happen. Let's call them on it. Let's see what actually happens. Let's see if the American people notice. Let's see what goes wrong, what breaks. Let's see how important it is or is not to the American people to close down the government. So I just think that as we're going to hear it, all of a sudden it's supposed to be the center of our lives. We're supposed to care. Now, are there things that could be disrupted, and would it create disturbances for if unemployment benefits don't go out, if certain things that people were expecting don't go out? Absolutely. And I think that there are many, many contingency plans in place for things like the armed services or TSA or any of those things. And I don't think that government workers should be asked to go to work without getting paid. But we all know that if they do have to do that, they will be paid. There will be back pay. They get extra. All of these things have been accounted for because we've been here before. And the last time the government shut down was also, I think, during Trump's presidency, the first time, when Democrats refused to work with Republicans to do the thing that they've done every time before. The thing that they require Republicans to do, if they thought that it was really going to be the end of the world, they wouldn't shut it down. And so shut it down. Let's see what happens, because the markets didn't collapse. People didn't die. It's just the same thing that they told us would happen if Trump stopped funding USAID. They said that there would be deaths all over the world. We couldn't possibly survive. Well, we've got news for you. If you want to find out if they're right, let's shut it down and let's see what happens. Because I am pretty confident that if there's a shutdown, number one, as soon as it shuts down, the Democrats are going to be clamoring to get it open back up. And they're going to need some sort of face-saving measure to claim that they got something. And who are they being held hostage by? They're being held hostage by the far left, who raked Chuck Schumer over the coals when he capitulated last time. And that's what this is really about. It's really Schumer that's worried about AOC and Zohran Mamdani and the far radical left coming after him, his role as leader of the Senate Democrats, his re-election to the Senate, which is coming up in another year or two. So he's looking at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Zohran Mamdani breathing down his neck, and he knows that he's not, well, I mean, he's never been genuine. He's the most disingenuous person in Congress, and he's been there his entire career. All he cares about is his own power and being there, and he knows that because last time he faced their wrath for just doing the thing that he knew was the right thing, which was extend government funding until you work out a deal. And there's over the weekend, you had Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer crying all over themselves to blame Trump, to blame Republicans, and take no accountability for their own shortcomings. They wanted to blame the fact that Republicans, the House passed the funding bill, and they have the votes in the Senate from every Republican. The only people that were not voting for it were the few that you would need to overcome the 60-person filibuster. So the two pathways you have here is either some Democrats work together with Republicans, or maybe what they're wanting to do is they want Republicans to eliminate the filibuster. It could be the other path that they take. It's what John Thune and the Republicans in the Senate have been looking at for confirmations. It could be the thing that, you know, eventually the filibuster goes away. I've generally been a fan of keeping the filibuster because when Republicans find themselves in the minority, you want to be able to have some negotiation leverage. But the negotiation leverage that Democrats are trying to use right now in this government shutdown is a bridge too far. They want to go and rewrite the entire budget as part of a continuing resolution because they want to be able to say that they never partnered with Trump. They never partnered with Mike Johnson. They didn't partner with John Thune because when they do, it destroys this fake narrative that they've had that Republicans are an existential threat to democracy, that they can't be trusted with government. And once they do that, it's just like Barack Obama talking to Donald Trump at Jimmy Carter's funeral. The facade melts away and you realize that everything they've been saying this whole entire time is a complete fallacy. Complete fallacy. And so if that's the case, that's going to expose everything that they've been saying, everything they've been doing, everything they've been lying about this entire time. So that's what we have that we're facing here. So you're going to hear lots of people hyperventilate over, government funding and what does it mean and all this. Well, you know what? We've been through it before. We'll be through it again. And Democrats are the ones that are shutting it down. Now, they're playing this game where they say, if you blame the other person, we can blame the president, blame the Republicans, blame Mike Johnson, who, by the way, passed the funding bill through the House. So it's the Senate that hasn't acted. It's Chuck Schumer and his little band of people. And it's the same people who just did this only a few weeks ago. People like Maine's very own Angus King, who admitted that he had the power to keep it open and he was going to do the thing that was the right thing, which was vote and fund it. And you could live to fight another day. But we're past that point in our politics. We're past the point where they're going to do the right thing for the country, if that's what they think it is, because they want to do the thing that will score political points. So I think we're in an interesting place. We'll see. I'll be interested if anyone has any concerns or fears about it. Because, you know, you want to make sure that the VA hospitals are open to take care of our veterans. You want to make sure that people get their unemployment because that's something they've paid into and they should be getting it out. You want to make sure that those functions work. But for Democrats, it's way more important to fight Trump and to be seen being the paper tiger that they are, to be seen putting up some sort of fight so that AOC and Zohran Mamdani don't have the moral high ground when they come to the next election. That's what they want to fight about. And so we're going to be fine. The government will be fine and we'll get through this one. And when you shut the government down, The second it's down, the Democrats panic because it's the thing that's the most important to them in the world. They love it. And they're going to do anything to get it back open. Now, they're going to have to say that they got something. They got some concession. They whatever. But is they really want the hill that they want to die on is funding for healthcare for illegals? I mean, there are lots of policy debates they could be having, and they could have had them any time before now. But they weren't saying, oh, we need a solution to funding the Obamacare subsidies. Instead, they're saying that they want to undo the victory that Republicans already had. You want to talk about what we face all the time with denialism. They're denying reality. They want to deny the last election. They want to deny that elections have consequences. And that's what they're really doing. They're trying to relitigate the fact that Republicans are in the majority, that Donald Trump is president. They want to undermine it just like they did in Trump 1.0 when they were able to torpedo his agenda and hold it hostage. That's what they're trying to do right now, and I don't think it'll happen. All right, a lot more stuff to get to. I want to talk about Eric Adams dropping out of the race. I want to talk about the updates on the Jim Comey indictment and take your calls. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We're back on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne sitting in for Grace. Thanks so much for joining us today. Someone who will not be joining is Eric Adams. The current mayor of the city of New York is not running for, he's still going to be on the ballot. And so he's still technically a candidate for mayor, but he is suspending his campaign and he's withdrawing. And it's something that people have been calling on him to do for quite some time. I know I've talked about it with Howie before, and it's something that if you want to try to figure out a way to beat Mamdani, the theory is that you need to consolidate. Right now, there are three candidates that are all running against Mamdani. You have Andrew Cuomo, you have Eric Adams, Andrew Cuomo already lost the primary to Mamdani. He's now running as an independent. Eric Adams was the one that made the decision to unenroll from the Democrat Party to run as an independent because he was working with Trump. And so he thought that would be the pathway for him. And then you have the Republican Curtis Sliwa in the race still and planning to stay in. So when you take Adams out, and again, his name will still be on the ballot, the question is, does this do anything? Will the people that were supporting Eric Adams be swayed over to go vote for Andrew Cuomo? And certainly I would think that Andrew Cuomo, if it were a two-person race, is the lesser of two evils. But honestly, this is just too little too late. Too little too late. I think Eric Adams, you know, probably would have had the best shot originally. But the fact that everyone wanted to get in, the Democrats wanted to abandon him, the fact that he worked for Trump, he had those corruption charges. And then because he was willing to work with the Trump administration on immigration, they were willing to toss those charges. And by the way, I have to give it to Eric Adams because he knew how to kiss up to Trump to get his pardon or commutation or whatever. He started doing it at the Al Smith dinner. The Al Smith dinner, he was there and Trump made a joke and joked about it. But you could see then that was when I said, oh, my gosh, Eric Adams is in the market for a pardon or a commutation. And instead, I think he got ahead of it and they actually got him to call off the investigation. And the Al Smith dinner, and you'll remember last week, Taylor, I was talking about, and I think we had the poll question, whether or not people would read Kamala Harris's book. And I have to report that I did. I have now finished. I listened to the audio, which is even worse than reading the book because Kamala narrates it. She reads it. I think they pay her more if you do it your own voice. But she talks about the Al Smith dinner and she talks about her decision not to go to it. And what happened is she thought that because she had worked with Catholic Charities, by the way, has a business model that depends on bringing in non-Americans into America and they get paid to resettle them here. And so that's their business model. And it's one that they had collaborated with Kamala Harris on. And so she thought that she already had all this goodwill saved up from Catholic Charities. So why do I have to go to this dinner? Why am I going to go to New York, a place that I'm already going to win, and be seen when it's only 107 days and I've got a campaign? And so she says, oh, and then I thought, you know, I recorded this video with Molly Shannon and it was really funny. And then at the end of it, I was serious and everyone thought I was dismissive or I took them for granted. And it played to all these other. Well, no. The reason why people thought that you were slighting the Catholics and people of faith is because you were, and you consistently did. And so this revisionist history around the Al Smith dinner, like, I don't think we should let him get away with. But it was at the Al Smith dinner. Trump was there and he had a lot of barbed jokes. He did not go easy, but he made some jokes at Chuck Schumer's expense, and Chuck Schumer just sat there laughing and they interacted. And again, it showed you that what Chuck Schumer's doing right now is theater, political theater. But the person there who decided that they were going to make any sort of olive branch, I think, was Eric Adams. And when the Adams administration in New York decided that they were going to work with ICE and cooperate on immigration, and why shouldn't they? They should, because of how it's devastated New York City and the services. These are the people that couldn't believe that Governor Greg Abbott would dare fly illegals, people walking over the border, coming unannounced to Texas. They said, how dare Texas bring these people into our communities, into New York, into Martha's Vineyard? And where did they want to go, by the way? When they're coming into Texas, they didn't want to go to Texas. They wanted to go to New York City. They wanted to go to places like Boston or Philadelphia or maybe even Chicago. But that's because those are the big cities they hear about. They didn't want to just be in some border town in Texas. And so what Greg Abbott was doing is he was getting them to the places where they already wanted to go. And it overwhelmed them. And they said, how dare you? All these people are showing up in our sanctuary city, our sanctuary state. They're coming unannounced. They're breaking our system. They're breaking the services that we have for our own people, our own residents, our own citizens. And we said, yeah, how do you think the people of Texas feel? And so Eric Adams was very happy to work together with the Trump administration to stop the flow of illegals into New York City. And so that's what his crime was. And for that crime, he's no longer going to be able to be mayor of the city of New York. Now, do you think that Andrew Cuomo, the decisions that he made during COVID directly led to the deaths of so many avoidable deaths during COVID? He decided not to test the elderly, to put them all, people that were already sick, in the nursing homes together. He made every decision you could possibly make was the opposite. And remember, we weren't allowed to question the science. He and his brother on CNN were engaging in disinformation, misinformation, part of the cabal with Anthony Fauci. They were the ones that were lionized. They were the best. They were who we were told that we should look out to. And that's who we want to be the mayor. Like, no one wants him to be the mayor. He was forced out on a rail because of the Me Too problems that he had. But that he was able to try to mount a comeback. And this is meant to be his comeback. Now, I don't think, you know, what do they say? If you don't go away, how can we possibly miss you? That's how I feel about Cuomo. He didn't really go away. He came back too fast, just like Wiener tried before him. These politicians think, and by the way, he thinks he should never have apologized. He thinks he should never have bowed out. He, just like Al Franken, thinks that if he had stood up to the people on the left that forced him out of his job, that he would have survived. He'd still be there. And we know that that's not the case. He should go away. And by the way, what he was run out for wasn't even the worst of it. The worst of it was the people that died and how much he misled people during the pandemic. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. 844-500-4242 is the number, or text Curley to 617-213-1066. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace, 844-500-4242. Let's get to today's poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Chuck's Trucks GMC. It's not too early to think about preseason maintenance on your Fisher plow. Chuck's Trucks GMC in Hudson, Massachusetts is your Fisher plow distributor. Fisher plows, spreaders, accessories, and parts to get you winter ready. TucksTrucksGMC.com. Taylor Cormier, what is today's poll question and what are the responses thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is who do you hope is indicted next? John Brennan, James Clapper, Hillary Clinton, Anthony Fauci, Letitia James, Barack Obama, or Adam Schiff?
Oh, I am tempted to say Schiff, but I really want Fauci. Both Fauci and Schiff got those auto pen pardons, and you have to test the theory on someone. Let's just go for broke and go with Fauci. So my answer is Fauci.
17% say Fauci. 30% say Adam Schiff. He's in the lead. Also tied for second place is John Brennan. Next up is Hillary Clinton at 14% and 12% for Barack Obama. Everybody else is under 10%.
Now, do you have a pick, Taylor?
Yeah, I'd probably like to see Anthony Fauci.
I think he's the one that's the easiest target, given what he did, given the corruption, given how ridiculous it is.
But you know what?
I don't see them going after him.
Right. I mean, his career is done. He's not doing anything else. To hold him accountable is to what? To separate him from his money? He's not in government anymore. Adam Schiff is still somebody that is very much a presence and is very much an orchestrator in the Senate. So, he should probably go.
It's really disgusting that he ended up in the U.S. Senate. It's because California is not competitive, so you just had to win the Democratic primary, and they have no standards. But I can't imagine that after all the things that Adam Schiff did, he's now a U.S. senator.
That's California, baby.
I know, but you just hope for better. It's funny. So you heard me saying in the last segment, I listened to Kamala Harris's book, and it really made me think that these people live in an alternate universe. People like Adam Schiff never have to face a real competitive election against a Republican. They never have to confront facts. Kamala Harris, until she ran for president, other than dropping out of the presidential primary against Joe Biden, she'd never lost an election. So these people don't get the feedback that you get when the voters reject you, because she had never actually been rejected by them. She withdrew before they had the chance to, but they don't know. And so you look at Schiff. Schiff thinks that he's been doing the right thing. He's on the right side of history.
With those eyeballs, you think he realizes he's on the right side of history?
Yeah, I don't know. They're in a bubble. They're in an alternate universe. It's the same thing as Chuck Schumer. Who thinks that what Chuck Schumer is doing is the brave thing? Is this some big profile and courage that we're not going to have a CR because we need health care for illegals? These people are warped. They don't hear from normal people. And that's what I think I wish that politicians would do. But James Comey, I think he's a great one to start with, because there's so much evidence of what he did. He was rigging the process from the word go. From the moment that Trump came down that big, beautiful escalator, he was trying to rig it. I mean, before that, they were looking into him. There's this new revelation that's come out that they tried to infiltrate with a honeypot scheme. I don't have the sound cut list in front of me, Taylor, but can you play the honeypot cut?
Got it coming right now.
Do we have it?
We'll work on that. The computer's slow today. It's Monday.
Yeah, everybody is having a Monday today. A few technical glitches, but appreciate you being with us here on the Grace Curley Show. But so the first thing that they wanted to do is they wanted to infiltrate Trump's campaign. And remember what they did with Mike Flynn, how they really wanted to bring down anyone that Trump wanted to have working with him, because they wanted to say that they were going to find one way or another to stop Donald Trump from winning, to take him down after, and to have their insurance policy should he be able to move forward. And James Comey was at the center of it. And the left has developed this narrative that because he looked into Hillary and her emails, which anyone would have to, that somehow that insulates him from any blame on what he did to Trump. But it's just the opposite. He's been one of the most political FBI directors of all time, and that's even counting J. Edgar Hoover. My concern with the recent indictment against James Comey is that I'm not sure that they have their ducks in a row yet. And so maybe this is just an early indictment so they can start the process and come in later with the superseding indictments. Remember, we got to learn about those when they were using lawfare against Trump. But there's plenty of there. There's plenty of him lying to Congress. There's probably plenty of him not following the law in what he did and how he tried to influence the presidential election and then try to take down the president from within. And remember, they told us that it was the end of democracy when he fired James Comey. And it wasn't. Christopher Wray did the right thing, and he resigned when he knew that the president of the United States had lost confidence in him. And now Kash Patel is there, and I hope that Kash is able to right the wrongs and to clean house. But we haven't heard yet about a wholesale house cleaning going on at the FBI. And we hope that Pam Bondi and Kash are able to do it. So far, Tulsi Gabbard has given us the best evidence that we needed to see what they did with Clapper and Comey and Brennan and their conspiracy against the president of the United States. These people who think that elections only matter when they come out with the outcome that they wanted, when it's a Democrat that's there or an establishment figure. And remember, it was Chuck Schumer who warned us and said, "I'd be careful, Donald Trump. Don't pick a fight with the deep state. They have every way from Sunday to get back and get even with you. You don't even know what they can do. You're playing with fire." That's what he said to them. It was a bold threat. And it turned out that that's what happened. That's how they had the Russia scandal. It's how they had all of these other things. Do we think we have sound now, Taylor? All right, we'll give you a second on it. Nothing like live radio. But James Comey, I think they should be able to get dead to rights. I think that there is a case to be made, and I hope that they have it together. Now, a lot of the statute of limitations is run on most of the charges, but we learned, right, from the Attorney General of the State of New York, Letitia James, that when democracy is threatened, when democracy is threatened, they will manipulate the rules. They'll find a way to turn a federal case into a state case, back into a federal case, so that they can overcome any of the restrictions. And it's worth it when they're going after their political enemy, namely Donald John Trump, because Orange Man Bad, that's what we learned from them, is that when Orange Man Bad is the method, then that's okay. Well, for Comey, we know that there's a there. I'm a little nervous. I want to make sure they get it right. And it seems like they're kind of coming in a little bit hot. They're a little bit eager. And we want to make sure that they actually do it and that they're dead to rights and that they're proven by a jury of his peers, even in a place like Washington, D.C., where you're not going to necessarily get a fair trial because all of the liberal jurors that are there. But if they can put together a case that it's irrefutable, that's what we need. We need to clean house. All right, here are some of the cuts relating to James Comey. Let's start on, this is the new shoe to drop about the 2015 honeypot scheme. Cut one.
This is big. Under the leadership of new FBI Director Kash Patel and Deputy Director Dan Bongino, the Bureau has reportedly launched an investigation into the agency's plan to infiltrate President Trump's first campaign using two female undercover agents. The Washington Times reporting that the program was launched in 2015 by then FBI Director James Comey. The honeypot scheme was actually kept off the books, and according to a whistleblower, Comey's investigation was separate from Crossfire Hurricane. You, of course, know that as the FBI's operation that looked into allegations Trump's campaign colluded with Russia.
In what universe is it okay for there to be a covert FBI operation implanting operatives, undercover operatives, like the million that we've now learned were part of January 6th? They're implanting them in the Trump campaign. They're getting hot women to go and try to influence. And that's exactly what they were doing, is they were trying to find ways to infiltrate the campaign. They were trying to influence the outcome of the election and to make sure that they had an insurance policy should Trump win and should Trump be elected. And these are the things, and that's why I think, you know, we're going to learn more about the dirt that they have on Jim Comey and what he authorized and what he did and the laws that he violated, because it's not all even just what he did, but it's going to be how he did it. Cut two, please.
A whistleblower disclosure says, quote, the case had no predicated foundation. So Comey personally directed the investigation without creating an official case file in Sentinel or any other FBI system. The FBI has multiple methods of protecting highly sensitive investigations, so Comey did not have a legitimate reason not to officially create an official investigation file or have a file number. FBI leaders are reportedly looking for those once undercover agents who are said to have infiltrated the Trump campaign at high levels.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any faith that they're going to find them? I'm sure they're looking everywhere. Well, hopefully they are looking everywhere, but this is ridiculous. We have to learn what actually happened. Who made the decision? Who gave the order? And what did they actually do? What did they actually do? Because that's what we need to get to the bottom of so that people can see what we were actually up against. So that when you look at, you know, everyone saying that no person is above the law, you can't have an FBI director that decides that he's going to run the government. And if the person in charge doesn't like him or doesn't follow the rules that he wants, he's going to take him down from the inside. And that's what they try to do. They try to disable the Trump presidency 1.0. And that's why it was important for Trump to get his own people to be in charge so that we know that they can't do it again. That there it's going to be people that Trump trusts and that have actually believe that he's the legitimately elected president of the United States that we all know that he is. So that's why that's important, and it's important to get to the bottom of this. But I also think it's so funny to hear the people that were all for all of the lawfare against Trump, the chickens coming home to roost, and by get Trump by any means possible, hyperventilating. And, you know, I hate that I always have to go to Scott Jennings, but he is always the voice of reason on CNN. He's doing yeoman's work there. And here's what Scott Jennings had to say. Cut three.
He seems to be kneecapping his own prosecutors here.
Well, look, that's the thing. There's a system, and the system includes grand juries and juries of ordinary Americans who get in a room and make decisions. He can't order people to be indicted, and he can't order people to be convicted. He can express his opinion. In the case of Comey, grand jurors in a very liberal jurisdiction got together and decided that the evidence did warrant charges. Comey will go to trial, and then a jury of his peers will decide whether he is guilty or not. The president can't do anything about that. He can make commentary on it. I'm not sure if it's wise or not wise to do that or if it will matter at all. But ultimately, I'll just say what Jim Comey said when Donald Trump was indicted. It's a good day for the rule of law because we have a system and the system is in place and the system is working as it was designed with average, ordinary Americans making decisions about how our laws will be enforced.
It's a good day for the system. Notice, they have faith in the system. The institutions are flawless when they're being weaponized against conservatives, when they're being weaponized against Donald Trump. But when the very real corruption is uncovered that has gone on in the Department of Justice, in the FBI, when it's really exposed, all of a sudden we don't have faith that it'll happen because, you know, Brett Kavanaugh is on the Supreme Court and Donald Trump is president. And because if Republicans are in charge of anything, then you can't trust those same institutions that we said were the things to trust, the processes to follow, and that, oh, there are all these protections. And because Trump tweeted it, it somehow made it worse than when there was the coordination of all of the Democrats who were in charge of the White House. And we know Joe Biden wasn't in charge over there, right? They're saying, well, you know, Abby Phillip pushes back on Scott Jennings and says, well, did Biden ever direct it by tweet? Well, no, Biden was barely awake. He wasn't directing anything. He wasn't in charge of the government, but the people in his office were. The people in the White House who were signing the pardons and who were directing the government and who were coordinating directly with the lawyers in the other jurisdictions, you bet it was a coordinated effort, that it was real, and that it happened. And I'll do one more cut before we take a break. The best soundbite I saw was, you know, Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer that then flipped on him. He was brought on MSNBC and they wanted him to kind of be critical and go after him. But I don't think they were expecting for Michael Cohen. Remember, they wanted him to be president. He wanted him to, like, you know, he could challenge him. He knows the goods on Trump. He's going to be the one that will bring him down because he's going to turn. And they charged him so that they could get him to flip on Trump and use him as like state's evidence against him. That this is Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen, they think, is going to go after Cohen because he hates Trump. But he had a surprise for them. Cut five.
Do any of us actually really know whether or not Comey is or is not guilty of the charges? I know that they parade out all of these pundits. They have the great titles in the Chiron, former prosecutor, yada, yada, former FBI. Who's seen a single document that's in the possession right now of the DOJ? The answer is nobody. Who has the crystal ball? Still nobody. I will tell you from my investigation, which I used Brian Karam, who's a 30-year White House correspondent, to speak to people inside government because they wouldn't talk to me. I've learned that Comey was actually very much involved in the Russia investigation in a very negative way. And chances are this DOJ has every single email, every text message, every communication. I believe likely he will be found guilty.
Oh, well, that's interesting because
I think he likely committed a crime.
Wait, what specifically?
I believe likely he committed a crime. I don't know what that crime is, but there are hundreds of thousands of documents, and government has each and every one of them. All they need to find is that one.
Did you hear how shocked she was? She couldn't believe that he'd actually admit to the fact that Comey probably did commit a crime and there are documents to prove it. And you know what? We want to see him, and the way we see him is taking him to trial, and that's why he had to be indicted. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
844-500-4242 is the number on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace. Thanks for being with us. You know, if you don't believe that all this talk of shutdown is really just about elections and the Democrats trying to pull a stunt, I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. They'll go out and they'll tell you. And all you need to know about is, you know who we left off the list for the poll question, Taylor, was Eric Swalwell. And I think he probably doesn't make the list because he's too much of a lightweight. He's not important enough to even make it. But that guy, I mean, remember he thought he could be president too. He ran and just like every, you know, Seth Moulton, all these other guys, they're like, you know, they're giants in their own minds. But this is what Eric Swalwell had to say about what's really going on and what they're after. Cut 14.
Well, first, we are making it clear that we're going into the majority a year from now. We have every intention to do that. And so we will bring oversight, accountability. We will subpoena the Department of Justice, but also private actors who have done these drug deals with the administration, college campuses, entertainment companies, law firms. And so accountability is coming. And so, one, it's all coming out. Two, I hope that deters people from doing more of these deals, these one-offs with the president. One other point, though, on Comey, Kate, this happened when Donald Trump was president. So if you're trying to tell me this is not politically motivated, the statement that they're referring to where he allegedly lied, Donald Trump was president. So why didn't you indict him then?
See, that's what they're actually after. Did you hear it? I hope this serves a deterrence to anyone that might work with Donald Trump to know that we're playing for keeps, that we're going to come back and take control of the government. That's the exact type of thing that they're accusing Trump of. If you want to know what Democrats are doing, listen to what they accuse Republicans of, because that's what's going on here. Eric Swalwell wants to threaten companies like ABC or the law firms that if they work with Trump, they're going to have hell to pay if the Dems get elected. This is The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.